Great. It's been a very busy and exciting last 8 days. We invited this couple, Craig and Jenny Marsh from New Zealand, to come. They travel the world, spending months on the different continents of the world. And they came for us last weekend and unexpectedly stayed for eight nights of meetings. And we had quite a remarkable time. If you managed to get to the meetings last Monday through to Friday, you know that we've tasted God had been pouring out something of God's Holy Spirit amongst us in a new way and a wonderful way. And I know that some people experienced God's healing power over that time. And we're looking, if you've experienced something of God's healing power, we'd love to hear about it. I know a number of you did. And it's just great to give God the credit for what he's done in our lives. So please see Nick, see myself, let us know what you've experienced over these times. And I know if you were unable to come to any of the meetings this time, we're together in this. We're a church that God's called to be together, to walk together, to walk down a path together. Don't feel left out, because I feel God is doing something amongst us and includes all of us. So what are we going to do is, this morning, myself and Barbara, Nick and Joe, all four of us are going to share, just briefly, different aspects of what we feel God is doing at this time. This man, Craig Marsh, an ordinary person, an ordinary New Zealander, but yet quite remarkable in that something God's given him, some gift from God that God's given him, from the Holy Spirit, to, particularly for us here in North London, to bring us something at this time. I think there's something that he has brought amongst us that's very powerful from God. And in fact, as I was thinking about what was happening during the week, there's a passage in Acts chapter 8. If you've got your Bibles, and you want to turn to the book of Acts in chapter 8, I'm just going to refer to a passage there, because it reminded me of a very momentous time in the life of the early church. In Acts chapter 8, we read of how God started to do something in a part of the world called Samaria. And people started to become Christians, and God started to move in wonderful ways. And something very profound and exciting and wonderful was happening in that place. And there was something significant. God was on the move. And then it says this in Acts chapter 8 and verse 14 and 15. So Acts and chapter 8, verse 14 and 15. It says, when the apostles, that's the spiritual gifted people that were in Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. And so it was that before Peter and John came, there were lots of good things happening in Samaria. God was on the move. God was doing stuff. But God wanted them to have more. And so God stirred up and sent out these apostles, these men of God who had something more of the Holy Spirit, to come and to pray for and to impart and to bring something. Now, why did God just not send an angel? Why did God just not, something's great happening here, I'll just continue doing more. It's as though God wanted these people from the apostles in Jerusalem to bring something. They had something, God had poured something out on them, and God wanted them. They were just, these apostles in Jerusalem were just ordinary guys. There was nothing, in a sense, special about them, except they had received from God something. And so God wanted them to bring something more of the Holy Spirit. My reflection on this last few days is that God has got more for us, much more, and that God has brought something more through this couple that have visited us. And Craig told us on Friday night that when he initially was invited to come here to London, he felt a stirring that God was going to do something. And thinking back over the years, I mean, I've lived here, I've been part of this church for over 25 years, and thinking of all that's happened over these years, reflecting on it, now we as people in this area have sowed much much into this area, loads. If you think back, we've done a March for Jesus where we've walked through the town seven times over 7 years. We've prayer walked, we've done prayer walls, we've prayed for 24 hours for a whole week. And we've had 2 years of consistent prayer and fasting where we didn't stop fasting for 2 years. Obviously not, obviously that took it in turn. We didn't just... We've put leaflets through a door. We've knocked on people's doors. We've run children's clubs, mothers and toddlers groups, street outreach, youth outreach, carol services, healing outreach, pub evangelism. We've invited friends. We've done a whole load of stuff where we have sown something of what God's done in us out, and we've seen a steady stream of people come. And you sat here today, those of you that had said yes to Jesus, and their lives been transformed by the power of God. And yet, just as the Christians in Samaria, there was something more that God wanted to give them. I think God wants to give us more. There's more. There is more that God wants of his Holy Spirit. Peter and John came to Samaria bringing a deeper experience of the Holy Spirit. And I think this is a time where God wants us to move into this. And God uses people to bring that more. Thinking over the last few years, we've had a fantastic time. Every time Nola, this prophet from Australia, Nola Richards, as she got married now, Nola Collis, has been amongst us. We've had amazing things have happened, just incredible things, as each time she's come. And we're very excited that Nola and her new husband, Alan, are coming to us in November. And I think that will be a very significant time when they come mid-November to us. And I think that there's a season, there's a time now to be prepared for more. I think that we invited Craig and Jenny Marsh. We expected things to happen. I think we got more than we bargained for. On the leaflets that advertised his meetings, we put this: an ordinary man with an extraordinary experience of God. And I feel privileged to have spent this week in the presence of someone who has experienced so much more of God than I have. If you missed any of the meetings, particularly the Monday to Friday meetings, if you didn't, for whatever reason, it wasn't possible to that, I really would ask that you would get the tapes. Andy at the back and Joshua, our kind servants of God, have got the tapes of those meetings. And my heart is, between now and Christmas, could you please listen to all those tapes many times? Because there's something in there in terms of us moving forward. If you want to buy them, they're only £1 each. Or just borrow them, they're free. But get hold of those tapes. And listen to what God has brought to us at this time. Because this is just the beginning. God has started us on a process. And it's important that we're all on the same page, as it were. It's important, I feel, that God moves us together as a body. And so one way of doing that is listening to those. Listening and re-listen. And Craig felt when he was amongst us that God was saying that... that there's something started, that there's something being sown into what God is doing here in North London. That's exciting. And there's something being deposited, there's some seeds being sown. And that it's our responsibility, what we do with those seeds, to nurture, to water, to prepare for those seeds to germinate and to grow and to produce all the things that God wants through those. And so Craig and Jenny are coming back in springtime. And before they do, we've got 6 months of preparation between now and when Craig and Jenny come back. So we've got a season of preparation. And so Nick and I are calling us as a church to a new season, a new thing, a fresh thing. 6 months of preparation for something that I believe is going to be really exciting. And the way that we propose to do that is to nurture what has been sown amongst us. So we've got 6 months of nurturing. The first way we want to do that is to expect more on Sunday mornings. Over the summer, normally summer by summer, we all go on holiday. And so normally in summer, we turn up on Sundays and, you know, we have a good time and praise God. And it's great, but it's kind of a bit of a I wouldn't say it's a low time, but there's a bit of a sense of it being a kind of holiday season and not much happening. This summer was very different. This summer, there was something going on during the summer that was quite remarkable. And I don't know what, it's very difficult to put a finger on it, except that God was on the move. It wasn't something we orchestrated, it wasn't something we planned, it wasn't hyped up. God was doing something week by week. One of those Sundays, as we gathered, I'd just come back from holiday, and I had a great time, and we just, as we just gathered together in the hall, there was just something. Sarah Crawley had something. She just came into the meeting and said, I just feel God saying something. And I felt that it was just at the end of the meeting, it was something significant. Sarah, could you just come, sorry to embarrass you and put on the spot, would you just try and... What was it? It was about 5 weeks ago, I think it was, or 6 weeks ago. Could you just try and what it was you felt?
It was the meeting... I'd just come back from holiday as well. It was the meeting where we all... It was in the other hall. We all came up the front at the end to worship God. We all moved forward. And I just had a very strong impression of an Olympic flame, you know, like someone holding the torch in their hand. And I didn't really know what it meant, except I really felt that it was to do with revival here in London. It was to do with revival, and it was to do with other people from other countries coming here, you know, to do with the nations coming to London.
Yeah. Right. Thank you, Sarah. And I just, when Sarah said that, you know, the meeting was almost over. People were sort of going out the door. So God gave that. So I shared that. I just got a stirring inside. I thought, that is significant. There's something that God's put on Sarah's heart, which is significant. And I just made note of that. And I believe that started. Something started. Now, I don't know. I can't tell. We can't tell God what you're going to do and what, but we don't know. And that's the exciting thing. And also the unsettling thing is we don't know what God's going to do. Because when God moves and God does things, it's kind of what God wants and not what we would like. Except our passion is to see our lives transformed by the Holy Spirit and other people around. I was just sharing with Martin's father at the beginning of the service how that we're placed here in London. In our parish, about three mile radius, there's about 1% of the entire UK population within our kind of the area here. And vast majority, 95-96% of those people do not have any experience of the love of God. So God's eye is on his people, the people here who are so lost without his love and without him. And we're placed, as with other churches in this area, we're placed to be able to impact many, many, many people's lives. So Sunday mornings, first thing is Sunday mornings, I want to stir you. The first part, come early, pray. We meet in that room over there, 9:45, come and pray. Come and give yourself fully to God, to what God's doing here in the meetings. When we finish this morning, we're going to worship. Give yourselves fully to worshiping God, making a place for him to come. Second way, I believe, to nurture what he's sown is to give ourselves to the cell groups that you're a part of. I believe that when in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see Jesus starting this small group around him. Jesus started a whole new way of doing things by drawing a small group and of giving himself fully to a small group of people. He did preach to the crowds. He did have big meetings. But his investment, the vast majority of his investment, was in a very small group of people, those 12 that he gathered around as a cell group. And I really ask that you would prepare what I believe are the wineskins. Jesus said you can't put new wine in old wineskins. And I believe that the cell groups, what Jesus modeled in those 12, are the new wineskins. Because cells are flexible, they're adaptable, they can be any shape and size and meet any time. They're so stretchy that the new wine can fill them and accommodate them and move them around. And so I think that we're over the years, God's built something in our relationships which is very special and very precious in our relationships and our cell groups. And I'm asking that in this season you commit yourself to grow those relationships, to see your cell group grow in the depth of its relationships, in the depth of its meetings, in the depth of what we have, so that we can hold, as new people come in, we have those wineskins that can hold the new wine. Otherwise, it will just spill out and be lost, which would be tragic. Wouldn't it be tragic if people that came and lives were transformed by God, we didn't have those adaptable, flexible wineskins to hold the new wine as it comes? So I'm really asking for you to give yourself in a fresh way to your cell group. And to enable, someone came at the end of the meeting and said, I want to put myself forward to be trained that I can be a future cell group leader at the end of one of the meetings on Friday night. I thought, fantastic. Because if these cell groups are going to be able to handle and grow and have these things, we're going to need a lot more capacity. And so in January, we start our cell training time. And again, gear up, get ready for that time, for the training that starts in January, ready for our cell groups. We're starting this book of Ephesians on Sunday mornings as we're going through the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians is all about God's glorious church and what God is doing in and through his church. And God's led us very specifically to take the book of Ephesians and not only to preach it, but to live it and to work it out in our small groups. And so I'd encourage you, please get hold of the book of Ephesians as we're starting on these Sunday mornings, because we need not only the Holy Spirit, but we need the Word of God. We need both the Spirit and the Word, that we can together at these times be ready for all that God has for us. Thirdly, we're changing our Monday nights. And Nick's going to talk about this in just a moment, about what we're doing on Monday nights. But if you notice on the sheets, we called them river nights. In Ezekiel 47, in the book of Ezekiel in chapter 47, it talks of the river of God flowing and what's happening in that river. And it's just a picture. It's a picture of something flowing from God that changes, that refreshes, that sees much happen. And so in that whole flow, and using that analogy, we're going to be meeting Monday by Monday as a chance to flow in that river that we believe in these next 6 months. And so I'll leave that to Nick rather than me talk more than duplicate what Nick's going to say. And fourthly, I feel in order to prepare finally for what God has for us, so the final thing I want to say is that there's preparation. There is spiritual preparation and there is practical preparation. The spiritual preparation, all these things I've talked about, but our own hearts and lives. Now, just 1 week of meetings was terribly disrupting in terms of sorting out babysitters and trying to get a hall organized, and just it was massively disruptive. What is it going to be like if that carries on? It's going to be a massive disruption to our lives. And so we need to prepare. There needs to be a practical preparation. We need a hall. We need to pray that this hall would be great, would be available night by night for however long. And so we need to prepare for that. We need the finances to prepare that God will provide, that we could book this hall, because it costs a lot of money, obviously, to book this hall, just Sunday by Sunday. For parents such as myself, or if you're a single parent, thinking ahead, how are we going to do babysitters? How are we going to get it working? How are we going to get this thing so that it can practically work? All the things, there's a journey. Over these next 6 months, there is not only a corporate journey, there is a personal journey. How are we going to prepare for what's going to happen? I believe we saw a little taste in these last 8 days of something quite remarkable. The question is, if God wants to multiply that and do much more, then what am I going to be willing to do to make space for what God wants to do? Do you know what? We've always tried as a church to keep meetings to a minimum. We don't just have meetings for the sake of having meetings. As Christians, we're all the time just having meetings. We've always tried to minimize that. So we've got times for relationships, times with each other, times with our friends. We've always done that. I want to continue to do that. And yet, in these next 6 months, it's a time. You know, in the early church, the book of Acts, it said they met daily. There was something happening that was so on a flow, such on a roll, that they met every day. Every day. And so I think that's terribly, what was there? How did they cope with all that? I don't know how they cope with all that. But the thing is that if God is doing something, wants to do something, we've got to be prepared. One of the first things Craig said is, do you really want God to move? Because if you do, it's going to disrupt your lives. And so it's a good question to ask and a good question to be honest about ourselves. I've asked Barbara to come now, and where's my wife? Barbara, come and tell us about what did you feel for this last week?
Hi. These are just some of my personal reflections on this past week, and I hope that they resonate with some of you and maybe stir up some things that are perhaps in the bottom of your heart that you think, well, dare I believe this, or dare I even hope that God's going to do this. For me, I think this week has really been about God restoring hope in my own heart for what he wants to do. Not a good start. For what he wants to do here in London. I was thrilled when they announced that they were going to, Craig and Jenny were going to stay and we're going to have a whole week. And Andy was sat in the living room with me and he said, what's this with your arms going up and down like this? Because I was like, woo, it's really exciting. And then as I kind of reflected on it, I thought, actually, I don't just want a week of meetings where, you know, they're great and we have a fun time and we get blessed and have a good time. Because actually, you know, that's great, but what fruit does that have? It's great to have good meetings. I love to be blessed by God, but you know, my life's about more than that. And I think God's purposes are about more than that. And so there was something in my heart that thought, well, God, there must be something more that you're doing. You don't just want to pick me out of the crowd and, you know, pat me on the head and give me a great time. There must be something on your agenda. What are you doing? And so over the first few days, I was really listening to God and trying to hear some of the things that he was saying. What was the purpose of these meetings? What was some of the things that he wanted to do through them? And as I spent time in God's presence each night, I was reminded of a quote from Jackie Pullinger. She's a missionary that's worked in Hong Kong for years and years and years, and she's probably one of my sort of heroes, in a sense. Those of you that know me know that I quote her left, right, and center. And she went out to Hong Kong and worked amongst drug addicts and in the real slum areas of Hong Kong. And when she first went, she said, I dreamt of laying hands on men and seeing them set free. I dreamt of praying with the blind, touching them, and watching their eyes open. And as I was praying one night, I was reminded of that quote. And it just made me think, that's so much what I want to see, you know. And yet it's so out there. It's so, I pray for people. I try and reach out to God. I listen to what God has to say. I pray for people. But actually, to be honest, you know, you can guarantee God's peace, but I've not really seen much happen personally when I've tried. And I think for a lot of us, you know, we listen to what God says, we step out, we pray, and we're grateful that God does bring peace in people's lives when we pray, and God does change people, but there's just, you know, all the stuff in Acts, and nothing like that really happens. Yeah, does it? And so, you know, I'm sure I'm not alone in dreaming those dreams for my neighborhood, my neighbors, my friends, my family, the people that, you know, that we look out for and that we cry over, really. And I think as a church, you know, I look around, we are hardworking people. We're people that say, right, God says, serve your friends. God says, pray for your neighbors. God says, love your family. And we just get on and do it, don't we? Obediently to God. And, you know, we all look around our cell groups. There's loads of people in there that are just serving God, that are just loving people to with whatever capacity we have in our own hearts. And I think the exciting thing for me is that over this week I felt God was starting to stir me and say, I'm going to start doing more. I'm going to start doing more than you've seen before. And those kind of hopes have been stirring up in my heart. I was listening to a CD as well this week, and the preacher said, faith is not believing in God's ability to act. We know that he can do stuff. Faith is knowing that God is willing to act. And that really resonated with me as I realized that I had kind of lost hope that he was willing to act on a big measure anymore. And I was getting on serving him, but I'd kind of really lost the hope that he would really do amazing things. And as God touched me in those meetings, and I think probably as he touched some of you, there was a stirring of hope in you that he's going to do more than he's done before. And of course, by being close to him and really walking with him, we can hear where he is willing to act. We can hear him say, go and pray for that person. Go and visit that person. Go and the people that are on his heart. We can be in the right place at the right time for where he wants to really do amazing things. And as I've listened to Craig and as I've worshipped this week, God's really instilled in me a faith that I've not had before. And I just feel such a sense of trust in him. And it's been like a great solid rock in my life of confidence and trust in him. And when I pray for people now, I've really noticed over this past week, I've been with, I've prayed for a couple of people who are not, don't know Jesus, and but really had needs in their lives. And rather than going and thinking, okay, what should I pray? Should I pray for healing? Should I? Well, you know, and that kind of, and what are the results going to be? And am I going to be put on the spot? And or you know, a feeling that I really need to defend God to them. I've just felt such a reassurance that God so loves them, and God's going to put something good in them, regardless of, you know, whether I know exactly what it is or not. And that's been a huge step up for me in terms of believing that God's going to flow into people's lives and that God really does love them a lot more than I do. And I believe that God's really pouring, rolling out his purposes here in North London like never before. And I'm really thrilled that we're a part of it and that, you know, this is what he's called to. And I think that we should encourage one another with, you know, talk about what God did in your life this week and what he's speaking to you about and what he's encouraging you with. And I think as we speak to each other, it encourages us to think, yeah, I feel that too. And, where's that verse from? And what's that song that you're listening to? And to sort of encourage one another to press on, because together we're going to edge each other forward, I think, rather than just a few individuals running in front. And finally, I was reading a verse in the book of Joshua, and it's the story of Caleb and Joshua. Caleb and Joshua were the original spies that went out to spy out the land, but the rest of the Israelites turned against them, and because of that, they weren't allowed to go in and take the land. And poor old Joshua and Caleb had to hang about for 45 years waiting for until the Israelites were ready to go in. And they must have been tremendously patient and not bitter people, mustn't they? But eventually they went in to the land, and Caleb and Joshua got their inheritance. And the land that they were given was in the Negev. And this little verse comes from at the end of that, when they've taken their patch of land, and Caleb's daughter gets to inherit a part of it. And she says to Caleb, this is in verse 19, she says, "Do me a special favor. Since you have given me land in the Negev, give me also springs of water." So Caleb gave her the upper and the lower springs. And I was reading the commentary about that, and it says, "The little farms of Hebron are still watered by those springs to this day." And when I liken our patch here, you know, where God's put us to live, it is a bit of a desert, isn't it, spiritually? People have no idea about God. People have no concept of, you know, his love. People are often walking in darkness and real sadness and brokenness. And I feel that that as we draw near to God, we can ask him for the springs, because those springs are his life that will then flow and water this area that we live in.
Thanks, Brenda. Point three of Paul's 4 points. It's really the Monday nights, and kind of where do we go from here in this 6 months preparation? Two E's to start with, encouraging and exciting. I just found this week unbelievably encouraging, because I felt God was confirming time and time again his word. I love it when people come from outside and confirm the word inside. And I feel that many of the things that God's been saying and doing at New Life over the last months, possibly years, he just said yes, except in a bigger way. So that was very encouraging. The exciting thing is our future. I feel excited, you know, about what God is going to do. We've had a wonderful, glorious, fantastic week, but we are going to have a better 6 months and after. So I'm very excited about the future. The only thing we felt to change really was the Monday night. Instead of having them every other Monday, we're going to have them every Monday. And the purpose of the Monday night, I think, will be clear as I just read out some of the things that Craig said to us. I was just reading through my notes. I found the Tuesday night unbelievably encouraging and prophetic. Every night was good, and as the week went by, it seems there was a build-up, more and more and more of the presence of God, which was so exciting. In a sense, just as a taster of things to come. But this is one of the things he said. He said, when the pattern is right, the glory will fall. Did you hear him say that? He said it a few times. When the pattern is right, the glory will fall. He then said, you must find your own pattern. So we're not copying any other church or any other move of God. We're finding out what God has for us. And on these Monday nights, for the last 3 years, we've been just trying to find God. How do we seek you? And we're going to go on doing that same thing. I don't know how the Monday nights are going to go, but I know that we're going to meet with God, and I'm excited. Secondly, there is a well beneath your feet. There is a well beneath your feet. I was so excited by this thing that Barbara shared this morning about Joshua's, Caleb's daughter. Lord, give me also springs of water. And it says he gave her the upper and the lower springs. Where we were meeting on the weekend, during the week, was at the Beacon in Fleet Road. The River Fleet is the biggest underground river in London. The River Fleet starts on Hampstead Heath. There are two springs. One is Highgate Ponds, and the other is it Hampstead Pond? You know, the one by Southend Green. And there are springs there, and those two springs feed into the River Fleet. The River Fleet flows down Fleet Road underneath the Beacon. Hallelujah. Craig didn't know that we had a well beneath our feet. Flow along Mansfield Road and then down into Kentish Town. They go through Holborn. They go through Clerkenwell. Clerkenwell is a well that was dug in the River Fleet. Several of these wells, they thought that the River Fleet had healing powers. And so they would draw water from the River Fleet. I discovered this on the internet yesterday. And a lot of wells and different things around that area from Southend Green down to, eventually it's in it flows into the Thames by Blackfriars Bridge, I think it is. And you can still see the entrance where it goes into the Thames today. But it was so prophetic and so profound, this thing, that we have been digging a well, and we are going to continue digging a well until there is a spring flowing from New Life and the other churches around here that will affect all the people in this area. That's what we're believing for. We are digging a well. Craig said, the longer you soak, you got it. Well, you remember that one, didn't you? The longer you soak, the wetter you get. It's a soaking time. We're going to come. One of the things we've learned to do is that we can stand up, run about, lie down, jump around, skip, dance, and sing. It doesn't matter what we do. We are personally trying to find God in our own way. Thirst keeps you digging. Are you thirsty? I'm thirsty. I know I'm not thirsty enough. And so I'm praying again, Lord, make me more thirsty. He pours out water on the thirsty. So we're going there to quench our thirst. We're going there to get more thirst. He read that verse in 1 or 2 Chronicles. I don't remember which it is, when Solomon prays about the nation, and you get that promise at the end, and my eyes and my heart will always be there. That where God has moved, his eyes and heart will always be. Just by the beacon, less than 100 yards away, there's still on that railway bridge that goes across the railway, it's the boundary mark. And that boundary mark is where Gospel Oak was planted. And George Whitefield preached under that tree. Wesley preached under that tree. And legend goes, whether it's true or not, I don't know, that even St. Augustine preached under that tree. There is a heritage, and we are digging where others have dug before. We are redigging the wells of Jacob. And then he said, if the water is not to last only a few weeks, don't stop digging. Just like Barbara, I felt the same. I'm sure many of us felt the same. Lord, we don't just want a week of blessing. I want this stream to go on and go on deeper than we've ever known before. If the water is not to last only a few weeks, don't stop digging. So we are digging and we are drinking. Those two things, really, I wanted to finish with. He said, dig till there's a steady flow. We started with two E's, encouragement and excitement, and we're going to finish with two D's, digging and drinking. We're going in sacrifice to seek God's face, and we are going to drink until we are drunken with God, because we're going to learn how to enjoy him. And I believe that that river is going to flow out of our devotion to him, and it's going to do something special in this area. Joe is my first and favorite wife, for those who don't know.
Last. So much. Not so much to say, just so much that he's been doing. I've got very, very little to say. I just want Nick to put up the Holy Spirit song that we sang at the beginning. We've already done what I was going to suggest, which was to sing this song. I'd like us to sing it again in a moment. I've tried at times to explain what's happened in my heart. I find it hard to put into words what has gone on. And it's not been this week, it's been over several months, and it has changed my whole life. And when the Holy Spirit comes, what he does is profound. This isn't just to do with meetings. It's not to do with stuff on the outside. It's what's happening deep inside as spirit to spirit we meet Jesus. And only the Holy Spirit can come and cause us to love Jesus. And I'm saying that when we do this and when we start to cry out, not just casually standing, reading words off a screen, but when we're calling out from deep inside, fill us, then he will come. And I'm saying to you that you will fall in love with Jesus in a way that's never happened before. You will feel about God as you have never felt about him before, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes and he changes everything. And we have barely put our little toe in the edge of the water. There's so much to receive of him into our hearts. And when he comes, it changes just everything. And that's really what I've got to say. Just want to read you a quote from a guy called Duncan Campbell, who was the man who led probably the last great revival that happened in this country, in the Hebridean Islands. And he said this: when people search for God, he's talking saved or unsaved, okay? And I know there's people here this morning who perhaps are thinking, I don't know anything about what you're talking about this morning. I'm on the outside. When people search for God with all of their heart, they may not find him today, and they may not find him tomorrow. They may not find him next week, and they may not find him next month. But one thing is certain, they will find him.
If you go after him, you will find him. And I believe that this new move of the Holy Spirit that is coming, and I don't think it's just coming here, I think this is coming right across where people are searching. It's a deeply personal thing, yeah? It's him to us. It's not us to... It spills over, doesn't it? And you saw that in the meetings. It spills over person to person. But it's to do with a deeply personal inner relationship with Jesus that is beyond anything we've ever experienced before, and that will in the end spill out over us to change everything. So I just want to encourage you, particularly what Paul said about the meetings. Every meeting you go to, for goodness sake, don't come to the meetings and just read words off the screen anymore. Come and say, God, I am here. I am searching for you. Some of the most intense experiences I've had of Jesus have been in these meetings over the last few months, in this hall and in the other hall, in the cell leaders' meetings, where he has come and he has met with me and flooded my heart with something that I didn't even know existed, yeah? And I've been on the road for a while, but I didn't know about this. I didn't know that you could feel this way. So when we sing, come on the Sunday mornings, like Paul's saying, and let's just give this everything. Let's call out. Can we just look at these words? There must be more than this. This is where, for me, it began. When I started to say, God, there's got to be something more. And obviously, we're thinking of the area, but I was thinking of me as well, okay? I was saying, God, something has to happen because there's got to be more. And then we're singing, a breath of God, come breathe within. There must be more than the Spirit of God. Do we mean what we're singing? Yeah, we wait for you. And then as Martin's led us, he's got us to sing this, fill us anew, we pray. We can't just casually sing that. That's offensive to God. We need to call from deep inside our hearts, God, I want you to fill me. Every meeting I come to now, I'm crying out to him, Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Because what I've tasted is so, so, so wonderful that it's made me desperate for more and so hungry. I was not hungry a year or so ago. I wanted to be, but I wasn't. So I'd just like us to do what we've done in the other meetings. And I don't know if Martin could come. I don't know if the other guy's around. We lost Raymond. Maybe she's coming back. If you want, you could come up the front. I mean, that's only an outward thing. And let's sing this, yeah? Wherever you are, if you're far away, even if you're not a Christian, but you're saying there must be more than this. Emma, who's here, she won't mind me saying this, about, I don't know how long ago it was, but before she became a Christian, she tapped into Google something very similar to that, right? There must be more than this. She was at work and she was thinking there's got to be something more. She put that in. The end result was she got wonderfully saved, yeah? And has come in and found Jesus. So wherever we are, we can sing that and say that. But if you'll do this and you'll mean it, and you go on saying it and you go on meaning it, he's going to come. And this incredible thing that he's wanting to do inside of us is going to happen. This personal experience, a deeper experience of Jesus.
Let's stand, shall we?